And welcome now to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, once again in our Buck studio. It's a music-rich week, and with me are trombonist Benjamin Scraw, and also at the piano, performing with him, Chanmi John. Welcome to the Midday.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Benjamin Scraw is with the Madison Symphony, and I assume has other things going on, too.
Of course.
Trombonist always must. Right, yes. The trombone always looks like one of the more conspicuous but more unwieldy instruments to play.
Yeah, I've heard it described as one of the easier instruments to learn and one of the more difficult instruments to master.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of variables. We have the slide, of course, is where we place the pitch. So we have the ability to play more perfectly in tune than any other instrument, but we can also more easily play way out of tune than any other instrument as well. So that's sort of a mixed blessing.
When you, I suppose, if you get particularly excited, is it hard to restrain, you know, going past the note with your slide?
You have to practice different passages, different ways. So, I mean, it's you get used to where the notes are. You know, if you walk into a room in your house that you know well and you need to find the light switch and it's dark, you kind of have a muscle memory for where that should be.
Sure.
So you develop a muscle memory where the positions are supposed to be, and every once in a while there'll be a passage where it's an odd combination and you have to slow that down and really work it out. But for the most part, after you've done it for, 20 years or so, the positions pretty much fall into place for you.
Now, for very young players, there are, of course, miniature, they're downscale instruments, but is that true with the trombone? Would you have a 6-year-old?
That is not true with the trombone. Mm-hmm. That's true on the string instruments where the pitch is produced by the tension on the string. So you can get a shorter string at a different tension and get the same pitch. But unless you perform in, say, a vacuum chamber, you can't get the air to resonate at a different frequency if the instrument is shorter. So student instruments tend to be smaller in diameter. The tubing is smaller in diameter. It takes a little less air to get a sound in terms of power, but the positions are actually all the same. And actually, the difference between the tenor trombone and the bass trombone, the two trombones you see most often in the orchestra, the positions are the same on those instruments as well. They actually have the same range. It's just one is a little larger, has a little fatter sound, and one is a little narrower.
And do you have to, as a wind player, especially playing one of the larger wind instruments, have to do anything to keep your wind up?
Yeah, I consider exercise part of my practice routine. That if I don't get enough exercise, I notice it affects my playing, and I try to get some running in and some outdoor time and be in as good a shape as I can.
And what appealed to you about this instrument? Were you one of the child players of the trombone, or did you get into a high school band, or how did that happen?
I started in fifth grade, which is when the school music program started where I was growing up. I played trumpet for 4 days, and then my band director told me my lips were too big to make a good trumpet player, which I have since learned is something you tell people when you have too many trumpets and not enough low brass.
I was going to say, that doesn't sounds like the opposite of what I would expect.
My band director wanted me to play euphonium, but I was going to have none of that, so... I settled on the trombone and have been happy ever since. So.
Did you go through the whole marching band routine?
I did. Uh-huh. Marching band was a great experience in high school.
I always wonder about how people can walk and play at the same time. In fact, walk in rhythm and play at the same time.
They train you. It's a quasi-military drill training. And then you put an instrument on top of it. It doesn't make you sound better, but it does make you... more disciplined, and it gives you some great leadership experiences when you're young.
And what were some of the things you started out playing as a young trombonist?
It was mostly band music. Mm-hmm. There's a school band. I tried to get into all of the honor bands and the after school band things that I could, and jazz band and marching band. It wasn't until high school that I had the opportunity to play in a orchestra, and really fell in love with that repertoire from there on. I've always wanted to play in an orchestra.
I suppose that one of the bigger markets for compositions would be the band demand for more and more things to play. Seems like that is a commercially promising place for a composer is to write for band.
Yeah, because there's always school bands. There's some very good school bands, and they're always looking for new repertoire. So there's a lot of music still produced for concert band and very carefully aimed at different levels. It's a graded system, and sometimes you'll get a composer who's under contract, and the contract says, okay, I want this many pieces for elementary band and this many for junior high and this many for high school. And
so you really have to know the capabilities
right,
of those.
Of all the instruments as well.
The trombone doesn't have a lot of concerto literature, though, does it?
No, we're one of the unloved members of the symphony in terms of concertos. But there is some. For whatever reason, we weren't really discovered until the 20th century, so it's hard to find some of the traditional 19th century and Baroque repertoire, but I've found a way to sneak a couple of those into the program today.
Oh, well, good. All right, we're starting with Grindal, and did he write actually for the trombone, or is this an arrangement?
No, this is one of our three original pieces for the trombone. There's more than that. That's an exaggeration. But, yeah, Grindal was a Danish conductor from the first part of the 20th century, and this is one of his best-known works, and it really shows the musical, dramatic side of the trombone.
So this is the first movement of his concerto.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
one of the movements, the first movement from the Grundahl Concerto for Trombone. And my guest today, playing live here in our Buck studio, is Benjamin Scraw. He's a trombonist with the Madison Symphony. And taking the part of all the rest of the orchestra, there at the piano is Chenmi John, who comes to us from the UW School of Music.
Yes, she's a doctoral candidate in accompanying, and she plays great.
Well, yeah, I would say no slouch over there at the piano. The trombone is one of those instruments that I would guess, you know, it's not like, let's say you're a guitarist or even perhaps a violinist, and you have to warm up in your hotel room before a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively easy to do without people banging on the wall, but with a trombone, that would seem to be kind of not possible.
Yeah, it can be a challenging relationship with the neighbors. It's important to play out. There are some practice aids if you're in an emergency. There's special practice mutes that you can use to dampen down the sound a little bit. But yeah, playing in a hotel room is a little difficult. Sometimes you can buzz on just the mouthpiece if you're just trying to get your muscles physically warm. But yeah, generally I try and find a space that I can really play if I have to warm up. Often I'll either warm up a little bit at home if I've got access to home, or if you're playing at a concert hall, try and go, you know, fairly early so there's some time for 20 minutes or half hour to play backstage.
And how susceptible is a trombone to changes in temperature?
Well, they don't hurt it, but they make it harder to play. So the biggest thing is when a trombone is cold, the pitch goes flat, and as it warms up, the pitch changes, and you have to make accommodations. So it's best if you can start the show at the temperature you're going to be for the rest of the show. But that said, it's made out of brass. It doesn't tarnish. It's waterproof. So if you have to play outside in a rainstorm, you can. Many other orchestra instruments will not do that for you.
Yeah, you see some of the wooden instruments retreating immediately,
yes,
the
immediately.
First raindrops, but not so the brass section. They're a little bit more invulnerable to it. Well, speaking of playing softly, here's a piece that is actually usually associated with the violin.
Yes, yes. There's a strong performance tradition of this piece for solo violin and harp. I believe it's because that's the way the composer wrote it.
with an orchestra around there somewhere. Since this is from the opera Thais, and it's the famous meditation by Jules Massenet, as arranged by Hartman, is that right?
Scott Hartman, yes. Excellent player.
For violin and piano. And so this is where the trombone really has to be a more subtle instrument.
Yeah, it shows off that lyrical side that you don't often get to hear. We often get associated with being loud and angry and aggressive, and there is a real sweet, lyrical, and still powerful sound of the trombone. So that's you'll hear some of that in this meditation.
Thank you.
Is that about as low as the trombone can play, about as low as the instrument can go, that last note there?
That's, for the most part, as low as you want to hear it.
So. There is that, isn't there? The Meditation from Thais by Massenet, as arranged by Scott Hartman, played by my guest today, live in our Buck studio, Benjamin Scraw, and his pianist, Chenmi John. Our quiz question will be coming, about 12:33 or so today, something like that. And, of course, the review of yesterday's, too, and we'll have a treasure trove at stake for somebody who gets the right answer to our question. All of that after some, would you say, contemporary for a castorade?
Yeah, this is contemporary trombone.
And I suppose it is an instrument that, old as it is, has probably had a very rich 20th century in recent years addition to the repertory.
Yeah, the trombone is a wonderful instrument, has a powerful sound. I think of it most times as a section instrument, an instrument
sure.
that is most compelling with a group of two or three other trombone players, and that's how it's used most often in the orchestra. And the trombone is actually the oldest of the brass instruments. Most of the brass instruments you see in the orchestra have valves on them, and those didn't come out until the middle of the 19th century, whereas the trombone basically looked like a trombone for 100 or 200 years before that. But for whatever reason, that in spite of it being used in that section role, it was very lately discovered as a solo instrument. So much of our repertoire comes from the 20th century.
And what about this piece by Castorade?
Castorade is a French composer. This piece is made in the mid-50s. It's not tonal, but I think it's pretty listenable.
we'll find out.
Yeah. Trombone can't play as fast or as high as strings or piano or something like that, but what we can do is rhythmically complicated. So this piece has just a lot of going on, a lot of really intricate rhythmic exchanges with the piano, imitation at various time intervals. To me, this piece feels like running out into a carnival in the street, and there's just action and things coming at you from every different direction, and then for some reason in the middle you run into a church procession and everything calms down. But it's a real wild, exciting piece.
All right, here we go. This is a third movement from a sonatine by Castorade. Well, certainly a dramatic piece, the third movement of a sonatine by Castorade, and my guest today is Benjamin Scraw with his pianist. Does a trombonist, Benjamin, have to have a sideline?
Sometimes. You often find musicians who are doing a number of different things. The classic approach is to play some trombone in a symphony, and like the Madison Symphony, do some other small freelancing and teach private lessons. But I'm on the road so much with my commute, it was hard to continue teaching lessons. And so I did the obvious thing, which is start a home shop building canoes.
Obviously.
So, and actually that's worked very well. I'm the kind of person who can't think if I don't have something to do with my hands. So I practice in the morning and I'll build canoes in the afternoon. They're lightweight Kevlar canoes, so they're very handy. And
aren't they kind of tippy, though?
Mine are not.
Oh, really?
I guarantee you will not fall out of one of my canoes.
Okay. Take you up on that sometime. And aren't they more susceptible to, being sliced open on a rock or something than an aluminum canoe would be?
Yeah, if you're testing rocks for durability, I don't recommend you use canoes for that. But mine are particularly durable among the lightweight ones.
Okay.
I'm really happy with the handling.
Stable and durable.
And they make excellent Christmas presents.
Yeah, okay. So as far as we'll go with that particular line of inquiry.
Nighthawk Canoes is the name of the brand.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if you can ever combine those two and actually make water music, in a canoe.
Well, yeah, we'll have to get a trombone quartet arrangement of Handel's water music.
Yeah, that's right. So you certainly could call attention to yourselves. Cavatine, am I remembering correctly that that's essentially sort of like just a simple street song?
Yeah, that's right. I think and this is one of the few pieces for trombone that's by one of the composers you may have heard of that has a reputation as an orchestral composer. This is a piece by Camille Saint-Saëns, and I think it shows off a little more of the orchestral sound of the trombone. It's broad and rich, and it has some fanfare figures in the middle, and it's just a nice, rich, solid piece. And there's only a couple pieces from the 19th century written specifically for trombone, and only a few pieces by major composers. So we're really happy to have this one in our repertoire.
Well, Saint-Saëns wrote so much and with such variety that I'm not surprised that he would at least provide something for the trombone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cavatine by Camille Saint-Saëns. And now back with my guest here in the Buck Studio, Benjamin Scraw, and his pianist is Chen Mi John. And in this case, I think you're going to go solo.
I am going to go solo. There's not much unaccompanied repertoire for the trombone, but this is a Baroque piece that I've stolen, of course. This is by Telemann, who is one of the Italian Baroque composers and particularly known for his wind writing. So this is a little more playable for the trombone than the Bach cello suites because there's a couple of places to breathe in the middle. So we always appreciate that.
I get it. Okay. Well, Telemann, said to be the most prolific composer of all time and one of the great German composers. Fantasy by Telemann, who wrote a lot of fantasies for one instrument or another. He wrote fantasies for a flute, for example, a fair number of those miniatures. And that gives you the sound of the, what would we say, the unalloyed trombone.
Exactly.
Is there a different approach to playing Baroque music for a trombone? I mean, you know, for string players, they have to make so many accommodations to do it in the original sound.
Right. Well, we try and listen to string players playing Baroque and copy the correct types of articulation and weighting. There's a style in that writing where string players will cross strings. They'll sort of play two different melodies at once. And that piece had a little bit of that where you've got that bass melody with the figuration above that. And that's something a little less simple for trombonists to do, but it's a good challenge.
With the Madison Symphony, you have this let's see, holiday concert coming
up,
right?
Yeah, we have our Christmas concert coming up.
December 5th, 6th, and 7th, is that right?
5th, 6th, and 7th, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon, and I invite everyone to come. It's a great show. It's a great community gathering.
And I'm guessing
got everyone there.
Those holiday concerts seem to me to be particularly good for trombonists. Seems to be a lot of brass.
Yeah, it's just not Christmas without some good brass music. It just makes the season.
Seems that way. We're going to go back to the composer that we started with. This, I think, is circa 1925, this concerto for trombone?
Yes.
And the composer's name again is Gröndahl?
Yep.
And we heard the first movement at the beginning of the hour, and now we're going to be hearing the last movement in this performance.
Right. And this has that same dramatic flair. This has a little bit of a dance feel to it with a dancer who doesn't quite want to be on the beat. There's this slightly comical, slightly serious feel to it. It's very, very unusual and again, the very, very dramatic style. Thank you.
Final movement of the Concerto for Trombone by Grundahl, and my guest today is Benjamin Scraw, his pianist, also working pretty hard there, I would say, a lot of the time, is Chen Mi John, and you promised us some rather tricky rhythms in there. I think you delivered on that. Is that the hardest part about that piece, of those constantly shifting rhythms?
Yeah, and it's really important to the style as well. And it's not so much the ones in the fast part, but the ones in the slow part are particularly not aligned. There's fives against twos and threes against fours and all kinds of goofy things in there.
I get the impression that contemporary or even, let's say, late 20th century music tends to be harder technically than a lot of earlier things. I guess the composers are just kind of more aware of what can constitute running through tires for a performer.
Well, yes, and the training is so much better. Uh-huh. It's not like there's one school in all of Europe and you have to travel, by horse and get. I mean, there's great music schools, there's great players, there's great recordings, and so everybody's trying to push the envelope. And something that happens with modern compositions is, we sort of broke tonality in the 20s. And so if you're going to have something that's a little more rich melodically, often those pieces end up pushing the rhythmic end of things to levels of complexity that you wouldn't have found earlier.
So all of that being true, Benjamin, do you have a favorite? If somebody were to say, what is your favorite trombone piece that you just love playing?
I would probably say the Grundahl. We played both the first and third movement today. That's a favorite of mine because it's just a very musical piece. I mean, I feel one of our missions when we play solo trombone music is to remind people that trombone is a musical instrument, that it's not just a special effects instrument or when the bad guy in the opera is coming in. we have something expressive and melodic and toneful to say, and I think this piece just has a great expressive range to it.
Well, thanks for stopping by and sharing some of your trombone virtuosity with us today.
Thank you very much, and hope to see you at Madison Symphony soon.
Pretty good chance of that, I suppose. Again, my guest today, Benjamin Scraw, who is a trombonist with the Madison Symphony, does other things too, such as making canoes out of Kevlar, and his pianist today has been Chen Mi John.